When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Mourn Team Kia at Cheltenham and Mount Barker for all your class-leading Kia vehicles and servicing.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Let's go! 3 minutes past eight on this Thursday, heading into round two of the AFL season tonight. It is Carlton taking on Geelong. We'll get on to Michelangelo Rucci in a second. I wanted to quickly, Mark Bickley, we're having a chat about who needs to pull their socks up. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that right now. All day socks by Underworks pass every comfort test. This has literally just happened on my phone. You know how there's all of these scammers everywhere sending text messages at the moment? I got a really good one just then.
What'd it say?
Now, it's from my mum. So on my phone, it says mum. You can see at the top, it says mum.
Oh, yep.
And the message says, I'm at the supermarket, brought my old card by mistake. Can you please send me $850? I'll give it back as soon as I can. Here's the bank details, BSB and account number. Mm. And if you press mum at the top of it, there's no number there.
Oh, dear.
So her phone hasn't been hacked. It's just someone with mum sending it through.
Yeah, just put that there. And they're hoping that you put the money in the bank account and then you ring your mum and say, hey, everything all good?
I try to think of really witty responses to say back to them and say, it's my birthday. Are you going to wish me happy birthday first to see what they say? Mm. But I get no response and they freak out. So
we'll ask them. I'm just not sure if you're my mum. What day is my birthday?
Okay, I'll write that back and I'll keep you updated over the next 30 minutes.
Can I give you my pull your socks up?
Please.
Akmal, who is a very well-regarded comedian, he's been supporting the Adelaide Fringe forever. He's a bit peeved because his show was ruined because he was next to another tent which had music and carry-on and it disrupted all his shows. And now he's saying, I'm not happy. I'm not coming back. Now,
I used to work with Akmal. I can see that happening.
He looks like a colourful character.
No, he's good. He's a very funny guy.
So here's the thing. I'm not sure who needs to pull their socks up. First of all, let's get a tent that's far enough away from music so we don't spoil Akmal's show. But Akmal, it's the Fringe. People cop that on the chin. They understand there's lots going on.
He's also lucky that the V8s aren't on right now because that's when it used to be. You'd have someone doing stand-up and then the cars would go past.
That's it. So everyone pull your socks up and let's all get along.
Okay. Now, thank you for that. Everyone's a bit fired up, so we need to simmer it a little bit. We are going to go straight to Michelangelo Rucci from Kimbo and the Rucci, who has his thoughts on what's happening with Shane McAdam and the appeal from the Crows tonight. Morning, Rucci. Thanks for joining us on SENSA Breakfast.
Morning, Jared. Morning, Mark. I'll tell you what, Jared, I've got an answer for you. Just reply. So you do need cash in heaven. You won't hear from them again.
Oh, yeah. That's... Jeepers, I thought we were going to lift the moon.
I'm not sure they'll feel any guilt in sending you text messages, but at least they'll never text you again.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah,
that'd be the outcome we're looking for. Now, Michelangelo, what have you made of the goings-on at the AFL the last week? We've got three instances where players charged other players or bumped them, and we've got 1 week, 2 week, or 1 week, 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and it's been very, very confusing, and it's all ended with Adelaide now launching an appeal tonight.
What we have got, Mark, is an annual chestnut that arrived in week one. We know that umpires is usually week six. The bump was week one. Now, the unfortunate thing was that Michael Christian left us with three different verdicts on three bumps. They're all different bumps, but they're all on the same agenda, where if you look at the reaction through the week, it tells you where the game has shifted, where you've got people such as Luke Hodge saying, well, we all know you can't do that anymore. The strange thing out of this one is that Adelaide goes to a tribunal actually saying, well, Shane McAdam really shouldn't have even been reported. Mm. So by the time they get to the appeal tonight, they're going to have to keep going down that path. And I don't think anyone, or very few, are actually saying, well, Shane McAdam doesn't have a case to answer. Mm. Now, I just can't see how this appeal wins or even how they could even get it reduced from three games. So I understand why Adelaide wants to defend its player. But maybe they've just misread the room. That generally, the jury of former footballers, of people of influence in the game today, are saying that that is not what is wanted in the game today, simply because of the new understanding of just where the game is at risk, particularly with all these class actions on concussions. So I'm just a little surprised with Adelaide's tact on this one, whereby, you know, the grading system that Michael Christian is working with is a mess. Mm. And I thought they could attack that one, but I'm not sure that their whole strategy of saying, well, look, there is no case to answer here, is actually going to work for them.
What's the fix then, Rooch? I feel that we're always going to have this conversation by, as you said, there are some former footballers or different generations of people saying we need to have the bump, it's part of the game. If you look at, it's funny, if you look at Cozzie Pickett, if Cozzie spent a fair bit of time watching highlights of his uncle, he would see a different type of game which was played to when Byron was playing. What is the fix and where do you see this going?
Well, the first thought on that one is to always reflect on what Malcolm Blight used to say about, well, why did you bump? Because if you look at every one of those incidents, there was an alternative which had less risk and a better result for your team. Now, if Cozzie Pickett smothers, he's stopping the ball going further downfield and setting up a 50-50 contest, of which, you know, that's a win for Melbourne. If Shane McAdam goes to tackle, well, he's either going to get perhaps at best a holding the ball call in his favour, or at worst a 50-50 contest of a field bounce, or if Weir is really good, he gets the ball away and then we see where the contest goes from there. But I think Malcolm Blight's attitude is, well, why do you bump when you've actually got an alternative which is better for the team and less risky? That's the first answer to that. Is why are players bumping when they're taking on a risk that's going to get them to a tribunal and a suspension and not getting a result that's better for their team?
Mm. And everything you said there makes perfect sense in my head, Michelangelo, and I think every coach has confirmed that. So effectively what we're talking about is a rush of blood, or what we're talking about is, in Shane McAdam's case, maybe you can make an argument that when he started playing footy as a young bloke at 18 years of age, which is 10 years ago, maybe his instinct was, you know, to actually run through blokes, and you're allowed to do that. The old shirt front has been a part of our game, but hard to make the same argument for Cozzie Pickett at 20 years of age, isn't it, really? Because he's grown up with a pretty sanitised version of footy that we have at the moment. So yeah, I'm not sure what the thought process was as he approached Bailey Smith.
So that's where the coaches and players have got to work through, is why are they bumping? But the bigger issue is, why are we loading up Michael Christian with a grading system? And this goes back to when Adrian Anderson brought it in as the AFL football chief. That just limits his ability to sit there as the ultimate supremo of the tribunal and say, look, I don't want a grading system. I'm just going to look at the incident, judge it for what it is, come up with a suspension, and then I'm going to use that as the benchmark for every suspension, for every incident that comes before me for the rest of the year. The grading system is just a complete failure and has been tinkered with for now more than a decade and still doesn't work. So get rid of the grading system. Just let Michael Christian be a supremo and say, you know what, I don't care about these gradings. I'm now looking at Cozzie Pickett. That's three. And the next one that comes towards me is going to be judged off Cozzie Pickett, and that's going to be the standard. And we'll then not have inconsistency. We'll have a precedent which he has to live by.
Yep, and basically the difference between Pickett and McAdam is a pure technicality on whether one went off for a concussion test and the other one didn't, and that's where the inconsistency comes from. So we think we've got a fair idea of what you think's going to happen at the appeal tonight. You don't think Adelaide will be successful. The other thing which has become a glaring issue in this is the absence of a football boss, a general manager of football at the AFL, who could be strong this week and tell everyone what the thinking is and could defend the framework of the tribunal and all those things, but there's no one there. So the question is, and we've now moved on from the fact there's no one there, who should be the next footy boss in your eyes, Michelangelo? Tom Harley's a name that a few people have bandied around. I'd hope it would be someone that has some fairly solid playing credentials, but do you have anyone in mind?
Now, it's interesting how that job's remained vacant, and it's probably going to remain vacant until there's a new chief executive, and probably not have anyone fill it until the end of the year. But we've got a fair few former players who have had significant careers and have got significant resumes that are worthy of putting in that chair. The only problem is, do they want to put their hand up and then find themselves, like so many others, that they get trapped by an AFL agenda that's not about football? Mm. That's the bit that worries me. Do you really want to put your hand up for that job where so often you just find that from either the commissioner or the CEO's office, you're actually dealing with agendas that aren't to your understanding what the game's all about? So you could come up with a long list, Mark. The question is, whoever sits in that chair, are they actually going to be able to do the job for the benefit of footy? And that's, you think back to how they eagerly went after Chris Davies at Port Adelaide. His commitment to Port is, to see the job through there. But I'd wonder whether he'd want to sit in that role, knowing the influences that come out from the commission and the CEO's office.
Mm. Well, Michelangelo, we enjoyed talking to you and we enjoy hearing your views. So we'll catch you again next week.
And we'll hear Rooch with Kimbo later on this afternoon on SENSA. MG is coming soon to Mount Barker Auto Group. Next, thanks to Con and Lena at the Brighton Trophy Centre, we are going to hear this week's awards, the best and some of the worst bits of the week.